بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Dear respected listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Just want to, before we begin, clarify something inshallah. So in the last lesson on Tuesday, I began the discussion of the mothers of the believers, the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I was informed that we hadn't actually finished our original discussion, which we had started in the series that we had started before the short break, which was the discussion on the du'as, the 40 Rabbana in the Holy Quran. So inshallah, having that in mind, what we'll do is we'll have two different sessions. On the Tuesday, we'll carry on Tuesdays. We will carry on with the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen series, the Mothers of the Believers, inshallah. And on Thursdays, we will look at the du'as in the Holy Quran. Having said that, inshallah, the next du'a, the next Rabbana, is also in Surah Al-Baqarah. The Rabbana that we discussed previously before the break was the story of وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتَ, of Dawood and Jalut and King Talut. The next verse is actually it makes up the final verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, and the actual dua in question is رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. This actual verse, it consists of 1, 2, 3 supplications that start with the wording of Rabbana. So we will discuss the first, and then we'll move on from that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. That, O our Lord, لا تؤاخذنا, condemn us not, do not punish us, إن نسينا, if we forget, أو أخطأنا, or fall into error. Before I discuss the actual dua itself, we'll look at the reason for the revelation of this dua. And it's actually a very beautiful story. The actual verse or the occasion begins with the verse لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, following this declaration, that everything in the heavens and the earth belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. That if you conceal or make apparent whatever is in your hearts, يُحَاسِبِكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take account of you for it. This verse, and this was the early command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is saying to the Sahaba kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala majma'in, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only judge you upon your actions of what you did and what you didn't do, which command you adhered to, which prohibitions you refrained from, but also the thoughts that enter into your mind. And whatever comes into your hearts and your minds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you to account for those as well. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he relates, أنه قال لَمَّا نَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ That when this verse was revealed, جَاءَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرْ وَعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ إِبْنَ عَوْفٍ وَمُعَاذْ وَنَاسٌ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Then Abu Bakr, Umar, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and a group of companions came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, كُلِّفْنَا مِنَ الْعَمَلِ مَا لَا نُطِيكَ كُلِّفْنَا مِنَ الْعَمَلِ مَا لَا نُطِيكَ That we have been made responsible in terms of actions that which we are not capable of fulfilling. إِنَّ أَحَدَنَا لَيُحَدِّثْ نَفْسُهُ بِمَا لَا يُحِبُّ أَن يَثْبُتَ فِي قَلْبِهِ Because every single one of us is of that ilk that those thoughts go through our mind which we do not even want to entertain. So they said to the Prophet ﷺ that, Ya Rasulullah, this verse that has been revealed has made it extremely difficult upon us. And the difficulty is that every one of us has thoughts that enter into our minds that we don't even want to entertain. And this verse is implicating that we will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in relation to them as well. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ The Messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, فَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَقُولُونَ كَمَا قَالَ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلِ سَمِعْنَا وَأَصَيْنَا The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said that it seems as if you are attempting to say what the children of Israel used to say. That سَمِعْنَا We have heard وَأَصَيْنَا And we have disobeyed. قُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا Say instead, O my companions, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا We have heard and we have obeyed. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this behavior of objecting to a comment of or a command of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal was a practice of a particular group of people that came before you. And this was their downfall. That instead of saying, we have heard the command of Allah and we have obeyed and accepted that command, they would, by either verbally or by their action, go against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا And the Prophet ﷺ, when he commanded them, they then responded by saying, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا No, Ya Rasulullah, we are not like them. We will say, we have heard and we have obeyed. The hadith carries on, وَشْتَدَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ This became very difficult upon the companions. The notion that we will be questioned in relation to the thoughts that enter our hearts. فَمَكَثُوا فِي ذَلِكَ حَوْلًا They stayed upon this for a year. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not overburden a soul more than they are capable, or does not burden a soul more than they are capable of bearing. This شأن النزول, this reason for, or the story for its revelation, is mentioned in the tafsir of Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, Mafatih al-Ghayb. And there are tremendous lessons to be learned from them. The beautiful lesson that the eventuality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He finally reveals in terms of a principle that Allah does not overburden a soul. This is a tremendous gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And this is how a believer should reflect on any of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they seem difficult for the person. So when there is a command of Allah before us and the thoughts, either the whisper of shaitan or our own nafs begin to prod us inside that this command of Allah is too difficult for me, This is a verse that we need to reflect upon. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. And say to ourselves that Allah has made it, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it a principle that He will never overburden me with a task. Iman is not something that is burdensome upon the soul. The ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has levied upon the believers is not more difficult than bringing to action and bringing to life. And that is why there are shara'it and conditions for ibadat and worship to be compulsory. So for example, a person has to be of a particular age, because overburdening a baby, let's say, or a pubescent, someone under the age of puberty, with an obligation is overburdening. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do that. So the first lesson that He teaches us is, subhanallah, that whatever He has tasked us with, it is something that we are capable of undertaking. In terms of our deen, number one, and in terms of our life, number two. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever situation He puts us in, and Allah protect us and save us from difficult situations, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never overburdens the individual more than they are able to withstand. Number two is, look at the resolve of the companions. That they only needed to hear one statement from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and though they had come to seek clarification from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say to him, Ya Rasulullah, this is too hard, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just needed to say to them that stop being like the people before you. Instead, adopt this attitude of, Ya Allah, whatever you command us with, whatever you levy upon us in terms of obligation, we will fulfill. They heard this once, and they responded by saying, Sami'na wa ata'na. The absolute resolve that the Sahaba kiram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, had in terms of fulfilling responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though at times it seemed difficult. That's why they came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But once the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message was, no, this needs to be adopted, this is the command of Allah, this is how a believer should respond, then the resolve is something to be admired. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a glimmer of that resolve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us some sort of resolve in terms of the commands that He has levied upon us, the prohibitions that He has made upon us, that we are able to have resolve in relation to that. That, oh Allah, ثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Last time the dua that we recited from the followers of Dawood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغَ عَلِينَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Grant us steadfastness. And this is something that we too pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us steadfastness in our faith, in our resolve, in terms of the deen, in our responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the background of this verse. So it comes to لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسع. Allah then makes a declaration that Allah does not overburden an individual. He only tasks an individual with what they are capable of bearing. لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Then the dua, ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا واخطأنا. That, O our Lord, condemn us not, do not punish us, lest we forget or fall, if we forget or fall into error. Number one, this dua is, according to some tafsirs, this is a dua that Allah is actually teaching the believers of how to make dua. This is not a story based on why this dua is mentioned, but the background is that the believers went to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to stay steadfast. Allah accepted this and changed the principle that only that which they were capable of, Allah would task them with. And then He said, when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how you make dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. That, oh Allah, condemn us not, punish us not. تُؤَاخِذْنَا here, in according to the مُفَسِّرُونَ, means do not punish. لَا تُعَاقِبْنَا. So do not punish us if we make a mistake or if we forget. And there's a lot of discussion that takes place here in terms of why would Allah punish someone if they made a mistake? But we won't go into the academic side of it. Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahimahullah, he mentions that one understanding of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he instructs us to make dua in this manner, that لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا وَأَخْطَانَا, is this is a sign of humility and humbleness of a true servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful, so kind, so gracious, that in terms of our mistakes, in terms of forgetfulness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish us. But to acknowledge that, you still go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you accept your own feebleness, you accept your own weakness, and you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Allah, you are the ultimate entity, you are the supreme entity, you are the creator, you are the nourisher, you are the sustainer, and you have every right to do whatever you want. So ya Allah, if we make a mistake, in nasina aw akhtana, if we forget, la tu'akhidna, do not punish us. And this in fact is a sign of humbleness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has every right to do whatever he wants. And despite knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take us to task with a mistake, we still say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that do not punish us, do not take us to task if we make a mistake. Now this verse, there's a lot of fiqh attached to this verse as well. The sin is absolved, but that doesn't mean the action is forgotten. So for example, let's say one forgets to perform Salatul Asr on its time. They are so caught up in something that they are doing that they forget, completely forget, leaves their mind. And when the Maghrib Adhan goes off, they remember, oh, I still need to read Asr Salah. So in that case, the sin is absolved of forgetting, because Allah has said He will not task us with overburden anybody. And if we forget something and then we are sinful for that, that's an overburden. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has taught us that in terms of forgetting, that is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the action and its compensation remains. So one still needs to perform the qadha of the actual fard salah that was missed. So this dua is a tremendous dua. It's a dua that's taught to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of how to make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi rahimahullah, he mentions that this is, within this dua is a sign of humbleness of the believer, saying to Allah that, Allah, you have every right to do whatever you want. Forget about if we deliberately sin. That's very far. But even if we make a mistake, you have the right to take us to task. Ya Allah, absolve us and forgive us of those mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of you the understanding. The next part of the dua, إِنَّ سِيْنَا وَخْطَانَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ وَلَلَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. So this next رَبَّنَا, inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, the next Thursday we will discuss this. And inshallah on Tuesday we will carry on with the discussion of the mothers of the believers, the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, Al-Khadijah al-Kubra, radiyallahu ta'ala anha barada. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.